The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you.
While the disciples were telling how they had seen Jesus risen from the dead, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do you doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, and you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, send your Spirit upon us. Fill our hearts, our minds, our imagination with your love and your life. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This time after Easter is a very peculiar one for the followers of Jesus, in that they've spent 3 years together. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and healing and feeding and just doing all this stuff, and yet they still seem to not quite get it, no matter how much they talk about it, no matter how many times they see it in action. It's still all a bit much to take in, and we kind of see that on Good Friday when everybody kind of scatters because they're just still in that place of question and doubt. And so you have those 3 years, and they're still doubting, they're still questioning, and then you get the crucifixion and the resurrection, which you would think would be enough, you know, for them to figure out what's going on. But yet, over the next few weeks, Jesus keeps popping in and out of their lives, and every time he shows up, they seem to be startled. Now, I get the first or second time. You know, I mean, last thing they knew, he was dead, hanging on a cross, and his body is missing, and there's rumors that he's come back from the dead, like he said he was going to. But you got to admit, it would be rather startling to be sitting there and have Jesus walk back into your life after the events of the last few days, few weeks. The first time I get, like I said, you know, they're in the upper room, they're up there kind of scared, not knowing quite what to do. Jesus comes in, and they get really excited, which is completely understandable. Unfortunately, Thomas is not there. Thomas is out like grocery shopping or something. They're all huddled together, and he's taking care of their needs. Literally, that's what he was doing, they think. He was out, you know, providing for them in some way. So he comes back, and the whole concept of doubting Thomas, I think Thomas just got a raw deal. He comes back, they're all excited about, they've seen the risen Lord, and Thomas is like, "Well, that's not fair. I want to see him, I want to talk to him." And so the next day, Jesus comes back again, and he says to Thomas, he says, you know, see the wounds in my hands, see the wounds in my feet, touch the wound in my side. And it is through that physical contact, that coming face to face with the wounds of Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus, that Thomas is then given the strength to proclaim, my Lord and my God. Okay, so we're following that. And then a few days later, Jesus comes back, and we can assume everybody's there this time because nobody gets in trouble for not being there. And they're startled again. And he, okay, once again, see the wounds in my hands, see the wounds in my feet, you know, touch the wound in my side. And so even though they've spent these 3 years together, they have experienced the crucifixion, they've experienced the resurrection, they don't really come to a full knowledge of who Jesus is as the Christ until they experience his wounds. It is the wounds of Christ that brings it all together for them. It's the wounds of Christ that bring it all together for them. Now, we've got a problem. Those of us who are struggling to be faithful, or at least struggling to figure out what that means, those of us who, you know, doubt lingers about, we don't have the advantage that even Thomas had of knowing that eventually Jesus is going to pop into the room and we're going to get to see the wounds themselves. We're going to get to hold the man, to hear the man, to rejoice and to celebrate with him of his resurrection. Now, I have been kind of pondering this for quite some time. How do we then experience, or how do we then address our questions? And every time I read these post-resurrection sightings, I always think, wouldn't it be nice if we could have that experience? You know, to see the man, to touch the man. And the older I get and the more I talk about these things, the more it dawns on me, we can. We can and we do. While Peter and his friends were able to feel the physical wounds of Jesus on his body, we experience the wounds of the Christ as we experience the wounds of the world. Turn on the TV. Open the newspaper if you still know what one looks like. You know, however you get your kind of world news, your world view, we experience the wounds of the world day in and day out. And it's not just in that big picture stuff that happens somewhere else. It's the stuff that happens right here. It's the stuff that happens right here. You know, to sit with a child who feels left out, to spend time with a person in severe illness, to have the privilege to sit with someone at the time of their death, a loss of love, a loss of a job, a loss of health. These are the wounds of the world. This is where we come to know humanity. And unless we know humanity, we can't know the divinity of Jesus. So we experience the crucifixion day in and day out. We participate. We pound the nails every time we are the one who rejects another. We experience the wounds of Christ in that pain. But we also experience the resurrection and the hope and the joy and the light that those dark spots can bring. Because you can't have light unless you have darkness. You can't have day unless you have night. So as we experience the world, we experience the incarnation. We experience Jesus. Now, at some point, you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, I'm pretty sure there's a baptism today. And if you don't know that, you're not listening. And two, you're wondering, what does this have to do with that? Well, I want to show you what this has to do with that. Well, she's busy. There we go. Oh. I'm getting the stink eye over here. It is in the joy of community, in the joy of literal new birth, that we experience humanity. For many of us, our days seem to be filled with, you know, one unaccomplished task, one sadness, one darkness. But it is the light. Oh, that was sad, wasn't it? Yeah. She's making it very hard for me to think straight. But it is here. Priscilla would tell you that's how I parented too. But seriously, for a second, it's that experience of the upper room. It's that experience of knowing darkness, but then experiencing joy. It is the fullness of new life that baptism represents. That new birth into a new spiritual place, into a new spiritual home. And that's what we celebrate today. That's what we celebrate every Sunday when we gather together at a day of resurrection. Newness, possibility, rebirth. Now, in a minute, during the baptisms themselves, we're going to go through the baptismal covenant, which is a question and answer version of the Apostles' Creed. If you want to get into the history of that someday, I'm more than happy to share that with you, but you don't want to hear it now. But at the end of that, at the end of that piece, that creedal part, there are five questions. And there are five promises that we make. And for me, those are the best definitions of how we now address this. Because remember, if you listen to the readings today, Jesus said, okay, now that you seem to have gotten it, he opened up their minds, that's the expression used, he opened up their minds, he opened up their hearts, now that they seem to have got it, what are you going to do with it? Because knowledge is useless if you don't do anything with it, right? Experience is useless if you don't let it inform who you are and who you are becoming. And so when we go through those five questions, I want you all to think about what you're hearing and what you're saying, because that's exactly how I believe we are called to respond to not just the wounds of Christ, but to the resurrection, to the joy of new beginnings. All right? Amen.